topics.
Right. At our webpage, you go to OCHealthInfo.com, and that's our main page, and it gives you a variety of resources. And on that page, they will direct you to find where you can be offered vaccines. We have at our vaccination site, it is really aimed toward people who don't have a doctor and they don't have insurance. But by and large, if you have insurance, you have a doctor, go to your doctor's office, go to the pharmacy, get yourself vaccinated. It's really the people who don't have that as an option that it's important that they come to us and we offer them the opportunity to get vaccinated.
Okay, and I think on the website as well, there was some information about anybody who wants to read further about immunizations and their safety.
That's right.
And so forth. Do you know of other websites other than yours? Are there any some great resources for folks who perhaps are hesitant with regard to vaccinations?
CDC.gov. CDC's webpage. It has a wealth of information, a large variety of topics. If you want to look more, the other place that I think is really useful, it's the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania. If you go to their webpage, they have a lot of resources educating people about vaccine safety, how vaccine works.
Yeah. Doctor, I am so thankful that you came in and joined us today. I hope we shared some great information with folks. I'd love for you to come back at any time and talk about anything you'd like that we feel at the not just Orange County, but we have some LA listeners as well. So I'm sure it's helpful for many people.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you again. And I wanted to thank everyone for listening. And they could get more information it's OCHealthInfo.com, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's right.
So go ahead and check out their website for more information, as well as if you want to hear more episodes of OC in Focus, you could go to jazz885.org. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And again, thank you for being here today.
Appreciate it.
Across the globe. In-flight entertainment includes Jet Into Work, featuring Jet from More Music in the Morning with Nick Harcourt and Jet. With daily departures at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, there are many options when flying. Thank you for choosing SoCal Sound.
We continue on KCSN with On Point, CSUN's news and public affairs show produced by CSUN journalism students.
You are now watching On Point, the news and public affairs show from California State University, Northridge.
Hello, and welcome to CSUN On Point. I'm your host, Eric Davidson. Today, we'll be dancing through the world of music, where the notes keep changing, but the rhythms often stay the same. To help us gain a better perspective about what it's like to navigate through the music industry, we have two special guests. Both of them are at different stages in their lives and at different stages in their music careers. Matthew Lombardi is graduating here from Cal State Northridge with a degree in music industry studies. At 22 years old, he is currently the head of the student-run record label on campus, 505 Entertainment. And Gilbert Garza is a vocalist in multiple cover bands, singing rock and Latin music. He's been a musician his whole life, and at 72 years old, he's still rocking it.
Yes, sir.
Matthew, Gilbert, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're honored to be here, man.
Thanks, guys. All right. So let's start. Briefly, take me through your musical journeys. What got you to where you are today? Matthew, I'll start with you.
Yeah, man. I started back when I was 3 years old, and I started to play drums. But before then, tried to pick up guitar. Was way too hard. So I was like, man, I need something that I feel like I can wrap my head around a little bit more. And every time I was listening to music with my dad, I really focused on the drums. The beat was something super important to me, so I started to play. And then I first started doing rock, then followed shortly, I went to my uncle's footsteps of playing trad jazz at Sacramento, a little bit of Dixieland stuff. And after that, I just kept continuing in the drumming career, went on to be in the middle school jazz band, high school jazz band, eventually came to college to be in the jazz band, so a lot of jazz, but I love playing all different kinds of music, from country to hip-hop to rock, a little bit of funk. I mean, I love it all. It's great.
Nice.
But eventually, you know, I was playing a lot, and I felt that I wanted to do something a little bit more than just playing. I wanted to be in every aspect of the music industry, which is why I became a music industry studies major, and it was great. Did it my sophomore year, and I couldn't be more grateful. It's given me so many opportunities. I still get to play all the time.
Heck yeah.
As well as I've just gotten to meet some incredible people like this. So it's been great, man. Nice. It's been wonderful.
Is there any projects in particular you're currently working on?
Man, as of right now, it's been pretty busy running the label. I won't lie. It's been a lot of different projects, a lot of shows, just constantly. Trying to do one about every week, almost. But outside of that, I just have a couple of different things I've been doing. I have my own personal group, I guess, called Lombardi Party.
Nice.
Which has been a great time.
Good name.
Yeah, man. It's been fun. But just, you know, outside of that, keeping busy, trying to dip my toes into every part of the music industry that I can.
Nice. And Gilbert, tell me about your journey to what you to got you where you are today.
Well, that all started when I was very young, like about 4 years old, 5 years old. I grew up kind of in the music environment, my family. My uncle was a professional trumpet player. And then as, you know, growing up there, he would come over. He would bring the trumpet over to me, and then we would just practice little songs
nice.
In the bedroom. And then I never knew that I would love music as much as I do now. I made it part of my career growing up. It's up to this day, and I've been in a lot of groups, started playing trumpet, first of all. And then after that, I got into when the Beatles came, Rolling Stones, and all the British invasion came. Mm-hmm. I got involved with that, and also got into the soul music, Motown, Smokey Robinson, the Four Tops, all them guys.
Wow.
I just fell in love with it all these years, and I never knew at that time that I was going to be a musician. Mm-hmm. It's just like I was telling the gentleman here that I was just, it would pop in, I would hear music, and I would just hear it, and it would just like, it would hit me, and then I would just, it would just go away. But after that, going, you know, as my life been going on in the music biz, I just got into more into it, realizing that it was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gift for me.
Definitely.
To continue to play the music with the instruments, you know, meet a lot of people, do different types of music, so it'll expand my, you know, musical career.
For sure.
Yeah. So I've just been doing it a very long time. I have a band. Right now is a truth band. We play all over. I worked with people from Sal Rodriguez, from War, people from Cannibal and Headhunters,
cool.
Chambers Brothers, just around a lot of people in the music business. Because we used to open up for shows for them, and I got really acquainted with the people, you know, getting to know a lot of the professionals.
Nice.
And then, you know, getting to know how they do it, you talk to them, and you learn a little bit from each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
To help you out in your career.
Nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned learning from people. What are some of your musical inspirations?
Well, a lot of them, because I just, you know, just really open-minded about it.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to different kinds of reggae music, you know, country music, because all music is good.
Yes.
All music, mm-hmm. every aspect of music, styles, they have their own sound, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it unique.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's different than anybody else.
For sure.
You can have like copy bands and all that, but doing the original stuff is like really something else.
Yeah.
When it comes from your heart and people enjoy what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about you, Matthew? What are some of your musical inspirations?
Oh, man. If you could make a soup out of all of it, it'd be gumbo. I'll tell you that. It's, man, a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love Cassiopeia, some Japanese funk, man. I mean, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. We were talking about our Earth, Wind, Fire earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Love them, man. But just drummer-wise, I grew up really respecting and admiring Peter Erskine, who's a great L.A. legend.
Nice.
As well as Buddy Rich. I know that.
Of course, classic.
Yeah, very big, but I love their style of playing. It's so energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Belson.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like
that. Dude, anything that involves positivity and energy and life, I love.
Nice.
That is, I'm all about it.
That seems to fit. You seem like a very positive person.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, man. No, I'm surrounded by positive people.
That's right.
That's rock.
Yeah, he is.
Right. Well, so how do you both of you define like success as a musician? And do you think you've been successful or on like the right path towards success? Gilbert, we'll start with you.
Well, yeah, I have been. I recorded a few songs. We did original stuff in the studio, but nothing really, you know, like it was just ourselves in the studio writing songs,
mm-hmm.
not to get out there, just for personal, you know, liking. You know, like what I like to do, I like to put it out there and, you know, hear what I created mm-hmm. in the music. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of that, a recording, and I did an album with, it was called Chicanos Explode in Concert.
Nice.
We recorded at Capitol Records.
Ooh.
We recorded there. Cause we were in Battle of the Bands, and they picked the best bands of the, you know, the winners mm-hmm. of that day. And we got all together. Everybody went to different studios. And fortunately, we ended up at the Capitol Records. I was there where the Beatles were. You see all their pictures mm-hmm. Up there, the sound room.
Yeah, yeah.
So professional. It was just really, it was amazing being there. Like, wow, look where I'm at. Yeah, so yeah. The music helped nice. Me a lot. Yeah, nice. Being there for me.
Awesome. What about you, Matthew? How do you define musical success?
I would define musical success as enjoying what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
As long as you're still loving it, you got love in your heart for what you're doing, whether mm-hmm. it be music especially, but just jobs in general or any passion that you have, as long as you still have that love for it and it remains constant, I mean, mm-hmm. you're on the right track. You're yeah. you're succeeding in every way you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are so many different facets of music to succeed in, whether it be the performing side or like in the studio side, the business side of it. There's so many different aspects, but as long as you're just enjoying it, you got a true love for the music that's unapologetic, then I'd say you're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great experiences. You know, music is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's universal. It's universal music. Mm-hmm. Can't get away from it.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. Matthew, so you run the student record label here on campus. Tell me a little about what you do as the head of it.
Man, yeah. I love talking about it because it just makes my heart so happy. It's yeah. great, man. I mean, it's such a privilege getting to run something like 505 Entertainment because you, again, get to meet incredible people. I love my team with all my heart. It is a bunch of really hardworking individuals that, again, just have such a passion for the music. And we, every single year, will sign a few artists. And this year, getting the privilege of being able to be the head of it, I have gotten to take a lot of liberties and start doing what I feel we can do to the maximum. I mm-hmm. am getting as many artists as we possibly can, putting on as many shows as we possibly can. We have a couple of artists that we've signed, including a singer-songwriter named Sophie Stole the Moon,
okay.
A bit of an R&B guy named Caden, and then as well as we have a metal band named Dro, we have a rap group named TriStar. And then, actually, my roommate is one of the other artists.
Okay, okay.
His name's Ozzy. He's a mm-hmm. DJ producer guy.
Nice.
And I love every one of them. They are so wonderful. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm excited to say we're going on tour for the first time ever.
Wow.
In summertime. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, we're starting top of California in Sacramento, my hometown.
Uh-huh. Oh,
okay.
And then we're going to be hitting a couple different spots coming all the way down to mm-hmm. L.A. So, it'll be great.
Wow.
Good, man.
Interesting. Gilbert, interesting. Have you been on tour? Do you have anything
I went from LA up north. I've been up north and came down, mm-hmm. like San Francisco, and then come all the way down, you know, with some friends of mine. And it was a big experience, a really nice experience doing all that.
Nice.
The people, meeting the people, different musicians, you talk the same language, okay. you understand each other and where you're coming from. And it's really interesting when you're meeting other people in the same thing that you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's one of the best memories out on the road?
The people, meeting the people. You're going from place to place, and the environment.
For sure.
Always changing.
For sure.
Because shows are always different. Different people are always mm-hmm. different people. Yeah. And that's what makes it really interesting. When you see different people, they accept you. Some they do, some they don't, but it's okay because you're up there and you're enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
That's the main thing.
That's awesome. Matthew, have you gone on tour before, or what's something you're looking forward to about this?
I would say what I'm most excited for is the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a great time to see how it is running a tour, as well as I love it because as well as running everything, I also play drums for the artists.
Okay.
So I'll be performing as well as heading it, as well as just everything, every aspect, making sure things are going well. So it'll be high pressure, but I feel like high reward. It'll be great.
Yeah. It'll definitely be fun.
But I've only been on tour, again, just with jazz stuff, which is a lot of fun. I love going to jazz festivals and everything, but this is my first time ever doing a, like, statewide tour thing with a team of this size. It'll be great, though.
And you'll have graduated by now, so how does that work?
Yes, so it's kind of nice because what we're doing is, since most of us will be graduated, we are sticking around, basically, and we want to owe it to the artists to give them this experience and this opportunity. So, again, like I said, those of us who are just so passionate about it and are working for the label every day trying to figure out what we can do better, this idea was that we just came up with at the beginning of the semester. We're like, we got to do something huge. I'm just really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you both. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll spin a tale of the resurgence of record stores and physical media. You're watching CSUN On Point. We'll be right back.
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
Welcome back to CSUN On Point. Right now, we're talking music and the people who make it. We're joined by two artists from two generations, Matthew Lombardi and Gilbert Garza. Despite the rise of digital streaming, record stores are still alive and humming with community. Our reporter, Melissa Valenzuela, takes us to a store that not only sells vinyl, but gives a space for local artists to strut their stuff.
For music lovers in the San Fernando Valley, the Midnight Hour is more than just a record shop. It's a community hub.
Located in the heart of the San Fernando Valley, the Midnight Hour is more than a place to buy vinyl. It's a space where music, culture, and community come alive.
I grew up with vinyl ever since I was like 14, 15, just collecting it everywhere that I would travel. And I just like the physical format. It's a big format. Art is cool. You can hold it. It's tactile. You can, you know, actually touch it. And you own it as well, which is a big plus because a lot of streaming services kind of get rid of the music or whatever it is. So, like, I've traveled all over the world, and it's just there's a deep history and a deep connection with vinyl that I just value a lot.
I do, like, collect them, or I started maybe, like, a couple years ago. I got, like, a vinyl from a show that I went to, and it's funny because even now I think I have, like, over 20 vinyls, but I still don't even have, like, a record player. So they literally just sit there, and I just collect them. I just like looking at them and, like, seeing them.
Since opening back in 2020, the Midnight Hour has become a go-to spot for record collectors and music lovers alike. But what truly sets them apart is their commitment to fostering talent and bringing the community together.
The energetic rock performances offer local and established musicians a place to shine. But it's not just about the music. The shop also organizes comedy and poetry nights, craft fairs, and more, creating a space where people from all over the valley can connect.
Whether you're an avid vinyl collector, a musician, or just someone who loves good music and atmosphere, the Midnight Hour has something for everyone. Reporting from the city of San Fernando, I'm Melissa Valenzuela for On Point.
Thank you, Melissa, for that look into the world of vinyl. Gents, what did you two think?
Vinyl, during the day and the time I was growing up, it was that's what we had. That's all we had, and so they started coming up with CDs and things like that. But I think the records, the vinyl, was the best. The best you could have, you know.
Yeah.
Compared to the CDs that, you know, they scratch. Well, they both scratch, but I mean, this it's more of the beginning, the vinyl, how it all built up to where we are right now. The music, yeah, the effects, things that get added to it.
Yeah.
And that time, it was like raw. The music was raw and, you know, from the heart. And nowadays, it's more this and that, you know, adding this, voices. Added special effects, you know, make you sound better, and throwing in, you know, other stuff like violins and, you know, background music and stuff like that. Nice. But I really, growing up in the day of the vinyl, it was fun during that time. And, well, you know, time gets better, you know, it advances to where we are right now. But to me, the vinyl was the time.
Nice. Matthew, what about you?
I'll tell you right now, vinyls are my favorite physical form of music.
Okay.
From the aesthetic, the look of them, I mean, the sound is incredible. I mean, Science, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. That little circle. Yeah. That, you know, you have a divot in there, and it plays music. Like, yeah. That's crazy. And I know that,
how do you
know,
do it?
Exactly. Yeah. It was cool because there was a period of time, I feel like in the early 2000s, where I'd go to friends' houses, and they'd have them hung up on a wall. Mm-hmm. And, like, not played or anything like that, but just, like, for decoration.
Yeah.
Now we're in a time where they're starting to get played more. They're starting to get used, actually, and I love it.
Yeah.
There's so much music being discovered. People are now collecting, like the person had said in there. And as well, another reason why I love vinyl so much is the Midnight Hour is an incredible place with so many wonderful vinyls. I thankfully have been there. It's a wonderful, wonderful community.
Nice.
And I'm excited to say, to tie back to the label a little bit, we're actually planning a show there coming up here within the next few months, hopefully with our metal group, Dro.
Okay.
Because they're just some of the greatest people.
Of
course. We would love to be in that space and around, again, that beautiful physical form that is vinyls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gilbert, do you frequent vinyl shops nowadays?
Oh, well, not anymore. Not anymore. We just go back to the music that, when it originally came out from the vinyl. First of all, from vinyl.
Yeah.
And then we learned from all that. And then it just started getting more advanced, you know, getting more advanced with a CD and things like that. But to me, I'd rather hear it from the original, you know, vinyl, because that's really, like, you know, original. It's original. And there's nothing added to it. It's just from the heart when you hear the music and you feel it and you get, it's just better than it is now.
What do your guys' collections look like? Do you have a bunch of vinyls all over the place or?
I have like more CDs.
Okay.
More CDs, you know, of the past that I've grew up with. I would like to have more vinyl, but, you know, it's like they don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
And then more people are starting to use, you know, like CDs, things like that. And then again, they also bring back, they're using the old stuff from the vinyls to put it into CD.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, they could throw in different effects and. But the original way is the best way to go.
Heck yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, man.
What about you, Matthew?
Yeah.
I mean, my two old ones that I have are from 1940 and were given to me by my aunt. And I love them. I have it's a Billie Holiday of, like, just Christmas tunes, man.
Ooh.
A bunch of Christmas tunes.
Yeah.
And then a Gene Krupa, like, All About Drums.
Oh, okay.
That I mean, I'm surprised it still works. I've listened to it so many times. And I would say my newer ones that I have, Cassiopeia, I have a Mint Jams vinyl. That is, like, my favorite album of all time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And my roommate and I, we splurged a little, got, like, a Tyler, the Creator vinyl recently.
Okay.
Wow. All different sorts. But just... Man, every time I see a vinyl, I get stoked. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I gotta have that.
It's, yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, you see, shops are starting to open up now. They're starting to come up with bringing back the vinyl.
Yeah.
Like that. And, you know, and then they have the record players the way they used to be, the diamond needle and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. The best sound.
Yeah.
Better than now.
Do you guys ever listen to, like, streaming and vinyl, like, back to back? Like, what do you think the differences are? I guess I should say, Matthew.
Man, I mean, when you listen to streaming, it's interesting because you can listen to anything you want to in any order you want to. You know, it's like you can make a playlist of all these different songs from all these different albums,
right?
And it's cool, you know. Like, I have like a workout playlist. I have a like car jams playlist, all that kind of stuff. Whereas with vinyls, you can only listen to what's on there. You can't pick and choose, and, like, it's hard to very much pinpoint, like, oh, this song starts in this divot right here.
Yeah.
You gotta wait.
you gotta wait. But it teaches you to just enjoy it. It teaches you to really sit down and listen and, like, absorb all of this beauty from songs that maybe you haven't heard before that are on the same album as your favorite songs.
Yeah.
But, man, what about you?
That's a creation.
Yeah.
How they want it, like that. People could add two different things to it, but when it's original, like that, it comes from the heart, and you can tell when they're singing it, you could tell it's real.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah. like with albums, like they the album order always is like trying to tell a story, like the artists are trying to communicate that with you. And so I feel like that with vinyl, it forces you to kind of like listen to that.
Dude, yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big playlist guy myself. But yeah.
What kind of, do you got a vinyl collection?
I do not. I actually don't have a player, so that's just the biggest stopper.
I have a spare one.
You have a spare one? Okay.
Do you, my friend?
There you go.
Well, listen, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, if we're speaking about like older mediums, what do you guys think about like cassette tapes as well?
I drove a 1999 Mercedes. Was my first ever car. Okay. Got it for like $3,000. Like I'd saved up my whole childhood, you know.
Nice.
And there was no digital. There was nothing that you like you could plug in or anything.
Yeah.
So I'd only play cassettes.
Okay.
And I had a killer cassette collection, man. I mean, I had Chicago. I had some Earth and Fire, like you were talking about.
Oh, my God.
And I just, I love cassette. I love physical forms of music.
Yeah, yeah.
But cassettes and vinyls, man, get me in.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Top notch.
What about you?
Yeah, well, the vinyl stuff is, you know, really great. But in the past, it's always been great, and they're bringing it back. You know, slowly but surely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good thing that bringing all that stuff back. And then the cassettes, I used to have a Craig Pioneer. I think everybody had a Craig Pioneer. Mm-hmm. But the bad thing about it was, when you used to pull them out, they used to like, you know,
all messed up. And you got to
wind them up. Yeah, that was the only bad thing about it. But yeah, but it was good, though. It was still good.
Awesome.
It was kind of making it portable, where you can put it in your car, and you can drive around and buy different cassettes, and then just play them. Well, they were 8-track, the 8-tracks I'm talking about, with the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were really good, but they, you know, they had, you know, the ups and downs.
Did you ever get a Walkman? You ever have one
of those? Oh yeah, Walkman. Yeah, uh-huh. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Walkman. You throw a CD in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we've been talking a little bit about like past technologies of stuff that's been like in the past, and we've been in the present. So let's talk about like, what do you guys think the future of music will bring?
I don't know.
I'll let you start.
Yeah. It could. Anything could happen with music. The instruments, you know, different instruments, different sounds. So that's what they do now, the Beatles.
Yeah.
They used to use all kinds of different things, bells, you know, a lot of different things to make it sound different.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, the Beatles were the original guys. That everything was original.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it,
What about you, Matthew?
I would say the future of music is extremely bright. I feel like there are so many new musicians every day that are, one, learning they love music, learning they want to play music. And, I mean, I think it's incredible. Of course, we have a lot more mainstream music that people listen to on the daily. But it's so important to really listen to local musicians. Go to your local venues.
Yeah.
You know, because you're supporting people who have the same love of something that you have had your entire life. And it's so important to really embrace that community and come together to ensure that the future is as bright as we all want it to be.
Yeah.
You know? So I have hope. I have faith. And I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Nice. But the youth these days, you know, there a lot of them are into the music. And some of them just like to listen to it, but there's some that really want to get into it, like start playing an instrument, and then learning all that stuff.
Yeah.
And doing it, you know, like live.
Yeah.
You know.
To close out our show, since our time is coming to an end, what advice can each of you give to like young musicians starting out? Gilbert, we'll start with you.
I think just try different things. You know, don't stick to one, you know, category of music. Try to learn a little bit of everything. That way, your creativity it grows, it gets bigger, and you'll learn to different things. If you want to put something here from another type of music, you can add it. Like we were talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
How they bring in different things to make a sound, make the record. So that's why I think, it's good like that. It's good to do that.
Start, just dip all your fingers in all the cups.
A little bit of everything.
Heck yeah. What about you, Matthew?
To close out the show, to tell you honestly, my dad had the best advice. He's one of my biggest role models. And my whole life, when it came to music, sports, anything I did, have fun.
Have fun.
That is the biggest thing to do. Have fun. If you want to join music, if you want to join a band, learn an instrument, have fun, enjoy yourself, you know? Like, never try to limit or stay in one lane. Have your own sound,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Originality.
Exactly.
It has originality.
Nice. Because living in a time where everybody wants to be like somebody, mm-hmm. be you. Be yeah, yourself. Nice. It's important, nice. You know? So,
Can I pick out a point? Yeah. What was a moment where you guys had, like, the most fun? Like, just off the top of your heads.
You go first.
Oh, just... Yeah, great just, yeah, just playing... it was really a big thrill for me just realizing that, look who I'm around. Mm-hmm. Like, who's around me?
Yeah.
Like, all these top artists, you know, and I'm there in the mobile home, and I'm looking out,